welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in Apple, such as it is, and I'm joined by a great panel. Starting top left from the Maccast, it's Adam Christensen. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. I'm gloomy today, though.
No sun in California.
I feel like I'm in a Tim Burton film.
It does a little bit dark there. You did say you were hoping the sun was going to come up, and I'm promising you it's been doing it a while, so I think you're going
to
be in luck.
Yeah, I think we have some morning fog. We get sort of fog. I'm not too close to the coast, but you know, every once in a while inland, we get a little marine kind of layer thing going on. So well, we're okay.
It's a big bank of fog then, because they've got it in Austin, Texas as well at the Grand Prix.
Really?
Yeah, the F1's enclosed in. I didn't get to watch any F1 practice at all before the show because they've got fog there. Mm. So it stretches all the way from California. Right the way across to Austin, which has got to be, what, 100 miles?
At least.
Next to him, joining us at the last minute and fantastic stalwart as ever on the Jeff Gamet Network, it is the owner, Jeff Gamet. How you doing, mate?
As always, it's wonderful to be with my minions.
It always tickles me that you've got to leave at 10 for a phone call with Adam.
It's not just me. I can tell you more.
Oh, okay.
But this is how I keep the mystery in our relationship.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, in the bottom left for the block, it's Greeny Boy back again.
Hello. Now listen.
Yeah.
Do you ever get a bit confused? Because I could never quite figure it out. We were talking about weather, right? Now, Australia, it's the spring over there, right?
That's right.
And they're a 1,000 or 2 miles away.
Now, it strikes me that
America is a fair distance as well, but they get the same weather as us. And I sort of understand why, but it doesn't seem quite right to me.
They get warmer because they're northern hemisphere. It's to do with the hemispheres, mate. So South America is currently in spring as well.
So is America in spring as well?
North America's in autumn come winter.
Yes, well, our weather is the same as yours, but with different accent.
Yeah, so they're also a lot further south. I mean, if you look at Detroit, Detroit's level with, the south of France. So it's,
is it really?
It's a long way further south.
I like the south.
Yes.
I'm very good at the south of France. That's just my scene, that is.
I believe New York City is in line with London.
Saint-Tropez. New York City is in line with London.
I'm pretty sure.
I think it's lower, but okay.
That's very possible. The point is,
I'm totally backing you up on this, Ewan.
We're a lot farther south than you are.
I'm on the 33rd parallel. If anybody's wondering.
Wind Rider's on the 38th parallel.
There you go. He's like six higher.
It's cool. So we'll have that.
You don't have me on the Wi-Fi again, do you?
Apparently it's equivalent to Athens, according to the chat room.
What is equivalent to Athens?
I don't know. It just says it's equivalent to Athens. I don't know. Maybe New York's equivalent to Athens. That sounds about right. Greeny's geologically challenged, says Belts.
Geographically.
I've got an A-level in geography.
Bit of both, maybe, then, yeah. Geologically and geographically. He's a brick. There we go. At least it rhymes with brick, anyway. We've got some reviews.
I've been away for weeks, and far off an insult like that. Look at that.
Thank you for your reviews. They're interesting, to say the least. I will be reading them all out. So, straight off, then. My God. This is from MG1001. If you enjoy having someone else's opinion thrust down your throat, then you should listen to this podcast. I did enjoy this and other podcasts over recent years from BTM, but I'm sick and tired of the voice telling everyone how right it is and how constantly moaning about Apple products on The Mac Show, like you need to qualify that. Obviously, you've got a choice not to listen to it, and that's exactly what I did. Thank you very much for your review and taking the time to put it in. Johnny's put in, you did a superb job hosting this wonderful informative podcast. Steady on. Always with up-to-date Mac news and really great guests, and normally listen to it driving my London cab on a Sunday night. My highlight of the night is when Will comes on and invariably my passenger will lean forward and say, "Who's the window licker?"
The cheek in it. The cheek.
Many thanks to all the guests. Keep up the good work. Arctic Musher says, I've been listening to this podcast for a while, not one to be missed. An hour-long feast of fun and informative-based news when they stay on track. Ewan Rankin attempts to keep the pundits in line, and the ever-present British Tech Network's own Basil Fawlty, Will Green, will have you thinking you've challenged the channel. But all good fun and the same. JMD says, this show's gotten tired, no real insight here. Often the guests have technical issues that affect sound quality and listenability. One star. Thank you very much, mate. And Honey Rob said, just listen to Will's comments about the byword and OmniFocus on the last show. Brilliant. I've been brought up to date with the latest reviews. Rubbish is straight to the point. Why waste time with more words? Will's correct. Bold button on pages versus markdown. There's only one winner. Plus, I also found out that paying beggars on the streets to take wide-angle shots of my todger is possible. Sometimes news is slow, but Will's fantastic.
You got a fan.
Yeah, that's great. No, that man is obviously very intelligent.
Send him a calculator. Good looking.
Freddie Doda. I listen to the Max Show crew on my cycle to work, commute to work. The strange looks I get from folk as they ride past while I'm laughing out loud has to be seen. The other morning, Will was in unusual form, and I was laughing so much I nearly ended up in a ditch. Great show. One of the best, and in comparison to everyone from Gruber to Sarah Lane, and to top it off, Adam from Maccast makes guest appearances. Great show, good laughs. You're going to make me roadkill. And Scott has been listening to the VIP show this morning, apparently, whilst driving his van, and says he's crashed his van whilst laughing at the bunny mask episode. So there we go. Well done. A couple by email that came in. Why have a f***ing Apple podcast and not like Apple? Said Jason. Thank you very much, mate. If you don't like the air, buy a bloody Kindle or a Huddle. Either way, shut the fuck up. I like the app there a lot, actually. That's from Mark.
I like your fans.
Oh, mate, these are great. These are the last 2 weeks. I can see how you're upset at Apple as you buy new products. I'm not sure what Will Green's excuse is, though. Thank you, Terry. I've been listening for ages, and I'm sick of your anti-Apple shit. That was Mark. I think this one's a spoof, though. Your atheist preachings will see you burn in hell. That's from Jedediah.
I think I have my new strategy on this show. It's going to contradict everything that Ewan says, and the fans love me.
This one's from Carl. Not Carl that's perfect. Not here. Just a different Carl. Apple's a great company, and you're a wanker.
Well, that's straight to the point, isn't it? You can't argue with that.
And the best one, you're a sad old wanker looking for friends by trying to be contentious. I'm gone. There you go. That was an anonymous one. Thank you for your reviews. Those that have threatened to leave,
you know, there are so many wanker references. All these wanker references, I'm starting to think that there's a pattern here, and it's that there's a lot of fans out there that are really interested in Ewan's penis.
No, I'm trying to figure out whether I need to delete the word wanker, that's all, though, whether it's family friendly or not. Is wanker family friendly?
This show's family friendly?
Well, allegedly. We got a clean tag in podcasting, so. how do they know? That's what I want to know. If you've threatened to leave the podcast, now that you've had your name check, do shut the door on the way out, eh? The Week in Apple, what's going on? Well, apparently, the iWatch is coming in two flavours, men and women, 1.7-inch screen and 1.3-inch screen. Now, that's a bit specific, isn't it? Have you seen this? No? They're OLEDs as well. And why would Apple make an OLED screen on a watch? Because you'd never work on a sunny day. I don't get that.
Well, if you're going to make up a story about right. What Apple's doing...
Oh, you mean it's not true?
No. God.
And here's me thinking it was true.
Although, you know, Jeff's accuracy was called into question this week.
Really? Why? Oh, when? What happened?
Man.
What happened?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
Okay. So I called fake on the Retina iPad Mini being released on Tuesday.
Oh, right.
And on Tuesday it was. And
it's like less than 12 hours before, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying this, aren't you?
Someone even sent me a photograph of a person eating a hat, which
was very good. Yeah. No, but to be fair, it's easy to say, oh, no, it won't, when you don't know either. So all the people that are being a bit kind of I know better than you.
Yes.
It's not fair, is it? I mean, at the time you said, no, it's not. No one else knew.
Correct.
No, correct. And I totally owned up to it, too. Yeah.
Which is why I'm bringing it up, because I don't think Apple's going to do a watch. I think they're playing around with designs and stuff like that, and there might be stuff, you know, screens that they're working with, and they're looking at form factors and doing R&D stuff. Absolutely. Apple's R&D budget is huge.
Mm. Yes, it is.
Not as big as some other companies, but it's still, I mean, they spend a lot of money doing that stuff. So they're playing around with all kinds of wearables. Do I think they're going to come out with a watch? No. I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. So it's funny when we see these stories. I just don't see it being a watch. They're going to come out with some wearable at some point. And maybe it'll have an element of telling the time, but I don't think it's going to be strictly a watch. And all this stuff that we see when people are sort of rumoring things, everybody keeps referring to it as a watch, which I think is odd. So, you know, I think we're way far away from seeing that thing. Will it maybe the end of 2014? Maybe, I think. But again, we're all just guessing, right? It could come out tomorrow and we could both be totally wrong.
Well, I mean, for all we know, Apple could soft launch a major new product. But that would never happen.
For all Greeny knows, they might be already selling it.
Thank you very much. finger on the pulse, mate. Finger on the pulse, I am. I did a podcast the other day. And
I heard. Did you publish at the weekend?
I know. I thought I'll run over to the Maccast show notes, copy and paste many times, bang them in. There we go. Job done.
Good lad, mate. Yep. That's ingenuity for you. That's what made the British Empire great.
That's what it is. Well, old Steve Jobs used to say that, isn't it that something, I can't remember now, something about genius is steel or something like that?
Yeah, it was. That's exactly right. Well remembered-ish.
That's what he said. He went, I can't quite remember now, genius is steel, and bugger off. That's the end of it.
Artist creating genius is steel.
Something like that.
Yeah, I think he's referring to Edison there at that one. Apple's third eye, says Wind Rider, and bullshit. iWatch is Apple trolling the entire world, says Bronwyn. And Apple may release two sides of watches, says Belts, though. He can see that happening.
Thing is the watch, though. I don't understand. I mean, what is the point? What is the point of the watch? It has to connect. but it has to connect to, like,
the phones didn't have to be phones.
That's true.
Sorry.
I mean, if you get a text message or an email and it pings up on your watch, well, it's just as easy to get your phone out of your pocket, isn't it?
I cannot
see the productive benefit of a smartwatch.
It's Adam's smartwatch. Is that your Pebble, mate?
It is. And that's why I know that Apple's not bringing out a smart. I got it in a lot of ways just to try and see what the big deal was about. And actually, it became a lot more useful this week when they finally released the update. So I get all my notifications on it now, but it's basically just a giant notification center on my wrist. I mean, that's, Will's got the exact point. So it tells the time, which is great. And it is a notification center on my wrist, which means I don't have to take my phone out of my pocket. That's the problem that it solves. That's it. And it's cool from a technology standpoint. I love the technology in it, the e-paper display, So another reason I got it was because I just like technology, right? So for those kinds of people, it's a fun thing, but it's a $150 toy. It's not a tool. It's not a life-changing. It hasn't changed my life in any significant way. It's a fun thing, and it's a good conversation starter, and tech geeks, you know, drool over it, but that's not the kind that Apple doesn't do products just for that reason. They let other companies do that.
And so, yes, and what problem does the smartwatch solve?
Right.
And for me, the answer is there is no problem for it to solve.
Right.
Well, the smart cover didn't solve the problem of holding your iPad up, according to my review, but I mean...
Yes, but we've established you're a wanker.
Apple has been always bad at, I don't know why they're so bad at accessories. And people are going to now point out a bunch of exceptions, but
you'll get as a
whole, I'll just say iPod sock.
I love the iPod sock. I still got them. They fitted the iPhone as well.
So does the tube sock I got at Target.
Yeah, but it looks crazy.
And it doesn't cost whatever Apple was charging for those things. So if you're going to be upset about the cost of the smart cover, you should be really upset about the cost of socks.
Oh, well, they were actually pretty cool, though. 20 quid for six.
And to be fair, really nice if you socks. Go into a swanky place, right?
Yeah.
And you're using like a third party, you got your sock from Aldi or, you know, Costco or something like that, you know. People will be sniggering behind your back. They'll say, look at that. See that Adam over there, Matt Cass? He won't even buy the proper Apple sock.
Yeah, that's it, you see.
Cheap knockoff version.
He's got a Donna.
Yeah.
From Sports Direct.
Yeah. I bet he drinks that sparkling pretendy champagne rather than real champagne. That's what they're saying.
Apparently, Batwin says I can get 20 pairs of socks from the pound shop. So, there we go.
That's a lot of iPods.
They're not Apple ones, though. Exactly right, though. Not. Where were you, Greeny, when someone agreed with you? Did you actually hear that that Adam said Greeny's exactly right?
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly right. Did you? Where were you when you heard that, Greeny?
Adam quite often agrees with me, and
that's because you've got the same show notes.
Sure. No, it's because he's got an incisive intelligence into the world of Apple, and so am I. On the ball, mate. On the ball. Cutting edge is what I am.
Cutting.
And Adam is too.
Absolutely, by default.
Yeah. I love you, Adam.
So, yeah.
I want you to know that.
No iWatch. Next story.
If only you could get his show notes before he broadcasts. Then you would look like the originator. Definitely. If only.
Can invite him to my Dropbox.
Yeah. Just send him a link one day and take pity on him, Adam. That would do.
Okay.
There was an iOS update, 7.0.4. It hasn't been out that long, has it? And we're already up to 0.4. So. But apparently this...
They need it.
Fixes FaceTime issues. Who the bloody hell uses FaceTime?
How about the one I want to see is fixes seeing the white Apple logo every other day.
Oh, really? Are you getting restart issues? Because are you getting restart issues?
I get much more frequently than I ever did on prior OSs. And I'm being, you know, it's annoying because I never saw it before. And it's probably a couple times a week. It hasn't been extreme. But then my iPhone started freaking out. So it could just be me. But I've asked other people. And I did when I was having my problems like yesterday. I literally have had my phone lock up on me where it just froze up and became unresponsive, which I've never had before. So I don't know if I have a bum iPhone 5S or I did my last ditch effort yesterday. Last night I did the restore, you know, erase and restore from backup. So we'll see if that fixes it. It might just be me. But definitely the app restarts, the random restarts from app crashes, I have had other people confirm that they're experiencing the same thing. Since iOS 7. And the weird thing was I was in the beta program and I ran every beta and it wasn't like that until like almost the second to last one or the GM build where it started doing that. So I don't know what Apple did.
I never had that at all on before and I ran the beta all the way up to the GM.
Oh, yeah, right. So you're not having random app crashes?
Nope.
It might be specific apps.
I'm not now because I'm on a Windows phone, but certainly.
True.
And I've got to say I'm not getting any app crashes at all on the iPad Air, so which I do say, I just want to point out,
from
the guy that wrote in, I love the iPad Air. I think that narrowness, just that 20 millimeters, has completely changed the form factor.
Yeah, I love my iPad Air. I'm not getting the Retina Mini because the Air is perfect. But on it's interesting you say that because I haven't seen the same app crashes on my iPad. So I don't know, maybe it's something specific to the 5S.
Well, I'm getting it on my iPads as well.
You're getting it on iPads. Don McAllister was too. Because he tweeted out about that.
On my iPhone 5S, on my iPad Air. some on my first gen Mini, but not as often as the other two.
Interesting. Greeny, are you getting any crashes on your Newton?
It's pretty robust, to be honest. A couple of AA batteries, and it keeps lasting for a couple of months. So what are we talking about? What's crashing?
iOS 7.
iOS 7.
Because you bought a 5, didn't you?
Phone, or?
Didn't you buy a 5?
No, I didn't, yeah.
Oh, right. So what, are you still running a 3GS?
Oh, no, yeah, Yes, I have got a 5. I've got it right in front of me.
Right, so have you updated to iOS 7?
Yes, I have.
Are you getting any crashes?
No, I'm not.
Right, there you go. Do you run any apps?
It's porn that they're looking at. That's probably what it is. That's the common denominator between the two of them, isn't it?
Oh.
You can see that furtive look in their eyes. They're both wearing glasses as well, so they can get a better view.
Greeny, do you realise that... Greeny, I'm not wishing to be, you know, kind of preachy or anything, but do you realise that the pop shield has to go between you and the microphone?
Oh, it's the wrong way around, isn't it? Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Are you talking into the back of the frigging microphone?
Is that a bit louder now?
No, that's the pop shield you've moved in front of the microphone. Is the microphone facing the right way?
Yes, well, you can put it... Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely. This is a beautiful microphone. This is made in Britain.
Hey. Bizarre.
So, that was awesome.
What kind of mic? Now I need to know what kind of mic is it.
What is it?
Well, it's a Son... or is it Sontronics Amiga?
You need to find us a link.
Yeah, Sontronics
Amiga. Or does it predate the web?
No, it's...
Looks almost like a Blue.
It does look a lot
now,
like a Blue.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, but I've seen it. I've used that mic, and it's not a Blue. It's a condenser.
Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, it's a Sontronics Amiga.
It's a condenser.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good quality mic. I got to back Greeny up on that.
Yeah, £500, I think.
There we go. I mean, it is the interesting thing, because you guys are going off for your call at 10 o'clock this morning. But are you doing it on FaceTime or are you doing it on Skype?
Skype. We do it on Skype.
Yeah. Who the hell uses FaceTime?
It's for families.
Yeah, my brother does. Calls me on it every once in a while. My wife hates it. She won't use it. She won't use Skype either. Video. I don't video chat. I in general, I think people don't video chat unless it's with family or on a podcast like this one.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's how it is for me.
I do when I'm working away from home.
You use FaceTime?
To call the family.
FaceTime. So if I'm in a hotel and I want to see my family and things, it's quite nice to see them waving. Hello, Daddy. Hello. Type thing.
Good.
Can I see your hotel room, Daddy?
As long as you keep the girlfriend out of shot.
Oh, there's crazy women in the room behind you, Daddy. Yeah. I move the crack pipe and the prostitutes out of the way. And...
Oh, that's good to know, Greeny. You're a family man. We like that. If you've got BBM, it now works offline, apparently, on your phone as well.
BBM it's the worst name ever.
Now supports iOS devices without a cellular connection as well. There you go. Mm. Has anyone got BBM on their phone? Did you download and try it?
I have no BBM on my phone.
See if it's
my phone is clean.
Rejuvenated the brand? No. Am I going to get hate mail off the BlackBerry lovers now?
Yeah, all three of them. They're coming for you.
Both. Oh,
poor
God.
Poor BlackBerry. What happened?
There'll be contracts out on me by then. I'll be like Larry Flint. I'll end up shot in the spine by the end of the month.
They hit the world on a string. They blew it.
Yeah, they really did.
There's still an enormous amount of BlackBerries out there. I mean, it's like I do a lot of corporate sort of enterprise-y stuff. But every company I go into, they're all still BlackBerry users in the main.
You know why?
What?
Because they have accountants, and the accountants have this thing called ROI, and they have to amortize out. Like we can't get new phones for 2 more years because we haven't worked out the budget on this one. We haven't made our money back yet because they buy a huge batch, and then they've got to get their money back before they can buy new stuff.
Yeah, to be fair, a lot of the discussions I have are about, you know, we're using BlackBerry, but we're moving away from that now. Pretty much It's the way it is. And and I see the same with Lotus stuff. Lotus. What's the word I'm looking for? Space in the enterprise market, but that again is people are moving away from it and going to a particularly fantastic product made by Google.
Excellent.
So it'll be gone in a couple of years.
Yeah, exactly. No support for it after a while.
I never figured out the IBM thing. Why do they, the Symphony, what the hell? I mean, what on earth? What were they thinking? Well, there it is.
So if you look at companies that use BlackBerry, it's usually ones that are subject to Sarbanes-Oxley reports and audits. They're the ones that are dead set on it because it means that they can send direct mail from a corporate listed account, whereas the iPhone isn't. It's a non-secure. It's not as secure as BBM, therefore it doesn't get used in corporate emails as much. FWIW.
Except, of course, when you send email through BlackBerry, it's going through servers in Canada and then back out.
But they are encrypted. So they allegedly can't
read
them, can they?
I find it funny that U.S. government agencies are worried about their secure emails, but they send them through Canada.
Yeah, but to be fair, the NSA are the only people that read them.
There is that, true.
Yeah. The ones that actually go through the BlackBerry servers are secure. Even BlackBerry can't decrypt them, allegedly. Bronwyn says the U.S. government employees are freaking out now that BlackBerry is going down the tubes. And Belt says, we are trustworthy in Canada.
I like the Canadians.
Yes, they are. They're friendly people, apparently.
What's the relationship between the Americans and the Canadians? Because I've always felt it's a bit like the same between the Australians and the people from New Zealand, or New Zealanders. What's the? Is it just a jokey thing, the rivalry or whatever?
I don't know. There's no rivalry, yeah. We like Canadians.
Family.
It's very much like if you're an Australian and someone mistakes you for a New Zealander, then it's not as bad as being a New Zealander and getting mistaken for an Australian, I think, is the way around it. It's still not good, don't get me wrong, but it's not as bad. And I think it's like with Americans, you know, if they hear an American and think you're a Canadian, you can get away with it. But if someone's a Canadian and you call them an American, then you're in deep shit.
But they'll be really nice about...
But they'll be really nice about beating the shit out of you, yeah.
I guess they're kind of like step siblings, maybe. You know, like stepbrother, sisters up there.
Sure.
You're a bunch of Frenchies, aren't you? That's the thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we're all cousins, aren't we? We're all cousins.
Well, we're not talking about the French Canadians, right?
No, we're talking about the regular Canadians.
The ones in the red jackets with the big hats.
I like the French Canadians.
We've got some breaking news here. This just in, and I mean actually just in, Carl Madden is consoling himself for not making it back in time for the Mac show. While stuck in a traffic jam, he's bought himself an iPad Retina Mini. That's.
I'm glad he found a way to console
himself. There you
go.
If I don't make it back in time for the show, I just say I'm sorry. I don't spend 600 quid.
But he can't pick it up on his way home. Right? Do you guys still not have in-store pickup? What's up with that?
Yeah, we can do in-store pickup, can't we?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. Because when I got my iPad Air, they gave me the opportunity of buying it early because I'm a business customer and then coming back after 9 and picking it up. Well, I was already in the line, so I didn't see the point of that. But
why did somebody tweet me or tell me that UK didn't have in-store pickup?
And they might not have had pickup for the Retina Mini because of the short supply, perhaps. I don't know, but... But you can buy reserve and pick up later.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great.
Bronwyn. It's because she's put stink eye in the thing, and Bronwyn says I've gotten the nastiest stink eye from UK folk from me accidentally calling Scottish and Welsh people from England. Yeah, that's the kind of if you call someone who's English that they're Scottish, they just laugh it off. Whereas if you call someone who's Scottish that they're English, you're in deep pub. You'll be wearing that one for a while. And Bronwyn does have brown eyes. There we go. Saved. What else have we got? There's an in-store pickup and stock control system that Apple have put out where they'll tell you if they've got stuff available today to buy your Retina iPad Mini. Did anyone use it?
Yeah.
And? Does it work? Or is it all gone by the time
it tells you if they're available. What?
Yeah, but are they all gone by the time you actually get to do anything with that information?
No, again, because you can order it right at that point and then schedule it for in-store pickup and you're good to go.
Because, I mean, at the moment, there's queues out the door for iPad mini at places.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. You know, like when I went to pick up my Air, because I did the in-store pickup, they actually had two lines and there was a pretty good size line. It wasn't as big as normal launches, but there were a bunch of people in that line and they said, what are you doing? It's like, well, I'm doing in-store pickup. And they said, they have that. We've been here for, you know, 2 hours. Didn't even know they had that. So
oh, that's not good.
Awesome.
Well, I don't know. Has anyone bought the iPad mini Retina?
I haven't.
No? I still haven't even seen one. They're incredibly scarce in Colorado.
Well, I think they're incredibly scarce everywhere. I mean, that's
yes, but more so here.
I don't think also that it's necessary because I've always said the mini is, I think, an extremely good quality screen anyway. So why have the Retina?
Dave Hamilton has one, and I think he put a review up, yes, 24-hour review.
Last night.
And what did he say about the difference between Retina and non-Retina? Whether it's, I mean, side by side, I'm guessing you're going to see a difference, but I can't believe it's
huge. He was very impressed.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, this is the iPad that he's always wanted.
Oh, bloody hell.
Yeah, I don't think he bought a mini, right, the original one, because he was waiting for the Retina?
Correct.
I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, and now that he has it, this is the only iPad he wants.
Yeah, I mean, the Retina Mini, I still think is a fantastic form factor. It's absolutely stunning. But now that the iPad Air is just that little bit narrower, it's kind of quite a sweet spot for me, I think, definitely.
I think it all comes down to usage. It really comes down to personal preference and usage. And what's nice about this now is you kind of don't have to compromise on either side of it. Like with the mini, you were compromising the Retina screen. With the original iPad, you were compromising on size and weight. And now you've kind of got those two things. So if you want a full screen with some extra space and stuff like that, you've got the Air. If it's all about size, you now have the mini, but with that quality Retina screen. So you don't have compromises like you did before.
Darren Griffin's saying that he's ordered a 64-gig cellular. Windrider's actually put something in the chat room, which I didn't realise. He says the Retina Mini is 326 ppi, whereas the Air is only 264 ppi. So it's a higher density pixel ratio on that screen. So that would make a big difference.
Well, and that's supposedly why they're having so much more trouble with that display. Mm-hmm. That's just a really high pixel density with the technology, or that's what I've been reading. So it makes sense because it is a lot higher in a larger screen than, say, that's the same density as your iPhone screen, right?
Yes, that's right. I'm just realised that I'm being rather kind to Apple today. Maybe I'm compromising my principles.
We weren't earlier. We were pretty harsh earlier, so we're just balancing it out.
Maybe. Okay, good point. I do apologise for that. Now, Greeny, did you buy Johnny Ive's biography by Leander Caney?
Well, no, I'm waiting for it. It's available in Audible .com,
right?
But it's not available at audible.co.uk at the moment. I'm not entirely sure why, but there it is. So I'm waiting for it to come out in Audible. I'll probably buy the hardback version as well. But I do find I travel around it quite a bit and stuff like that, and getting the time to read a book. Well, I suppose that's an excuse, I suppose. But if you're on the train and you've got an audio book, you can listen to it and do work at the same time. Or on the dog walk, you can listen to an audiobook and stuff like that.
Windrider's put in the chat room, does that mean it's inaudible?
Very good.
Very good.
But, you know, no, I haven't. I probably will. You know, the only trouble with blooming audiobooks is if, like, it's a historical one or a biography where the images are important, you want to see the pictures, don't you, in the book? You tend to end up buying both the audiobook and the physical book, so you can see the blooming images that the narrative is talking about.
I don't know why they haven't embraced the interactive or the enhanced podcast.
Oh, God.
Oh.
Because Apple,
anyway.
Because Apple's killing that format. I'm advising anybody who's thinking about that format, just don't even bother at this point. And I do enhance podcasts, and I have for years. In some ways, at the behest of Apple. So you're going to get me going on the enhanced podcast thing because, this is what Apple does. You wanted some negativity towards Apple. This is, they invent a great format that a lot of people really love, but not enough people love, and then they kill their babies.
Yes,
that's not
precisely them.
That's Apple.
I've just gone to audible.co.uk because it struck me that I haven't ordered a book for a while. And I've been paying $14.99 for as long as I can remember, and it's shown me as 0 credits available. And I haven't ordered a book for about a year.
Have you signed in using your Amazon account?
I've signed in using my Amazon account, yeah.
You don't want to do that. Sign in using your Audible account. Since Amazon bought Audible, they're trying to get people to sign in using their Amazon account. And if you've recently signed in with Amazon, it'll sign you into Audible as well. So if you can remember your Audible account, sign in that.
Oh, don't the right, credits okay. expire too at some point?
Well, they did that to me once before, and I said, "No, you bastards!" And they're still trying to make me register with Amazon.
If you look down the bottom, they keep it really small. It says, "You want to do this? Then click here to register with your Audible account."
Ah, sign in here instead. You bastards! Yeah. You bastards! Cunning devils, aren't they?
You didn't move. I moved everything over. Was I not supposed to do that?
I think you're fine if you have moved everything over. But if you're like me, where you've forgotten that you had an Audible account effectively, and now I can't get into it. bloody hell.
I don't. And have you seen now that.
Oh, I've got 12 credits available. There we go. So the bastards have had over a year's money off me, and they haven't credited me. They've only given me 6 credits.
They only roll over every 3 months, I think.
Oh, my credit card's expired as well.
Well, that could be why.
That's them shagged. They ain't getting any more money out of me. I won't be re-signing. I've probably got a bill. You currently owe us, because you failed to cancel this account, £270. Oh, that's all right. I might buy a book today then. I've got a long train journey to York on Tuesday, so.
Is it in? I haven't even looked. I was waiting for that to come out. Is it in iBooks, I'm assuming?
It's. Johnny Ives thing.
Yeah.
Of course, iBooks would be a good place to start. I haven't looked. Greeny, have you looked?
Yeah, there it is. It's there.
Greeny, come on, mate.
No, I don't want the book version. I want the audio version.
Well, no, if you get the iBooks, though, maybe it's got illustrations.
Yeah, but I'll end up buying the hard copy, like I always do, and then the audio book. Like Steve Jobs biography and all that.
Excuse me for being a bit naive here, but can't you then use accessibility settings to help you read iBooks?
Yes.
Yes. So you get it audible anyway.
What?
You can stand listening to Siri for.
I'm not going to do
10
that.
10 hours.
I'm not. Let's do a computer read a book, eh?
Why not?
Who does that? Have you ever done that?
Well, no, but we're talking about you.
Aha! Yeah. And has anybody else on the panel ever done that?
Only to prove that you can do it for about 30 seconds.
I used to do it when I was working for Apple, and I had to deliver some training classes and stuff like that. And quite often, for some reason or other, I would be running late. And I used to basically, get the PDF of the user manual and sort of convert that and get your device to read it to you. I used to put my Mac next to me as I was sort of trawling down the M5 and listen to the user manual. So I'd use it for that, listening to user manuals. But when it comes to like a human story, then I would never listen to a computer telling me that.
And you never fell asleep at the wheel?
Well, to be fair, it was my old BMW camper, which wouldn't allow you to, really. And even if you did, nobody would notice because it was so slow.
That went to the chat room suggesting that you might be able to get an interactive version of it, mate, and then you could interact with Johnny Ive.
Yes, thank you very much.
I love it. Chugga wow wow.
Anyway, so is it by Johnny Ive or is it written by somebody else?
No, it's Johnny Ive can't write. What the hell are you on?
It's Leander.
It's Leander Caney.
Leander Caney.
Yeah.
And is that a ghostwriter? Is it officially...
No, they're still alive.
Yeah, thank you.
What?
Leander, his site is Cult of Mac, and he's a really cool guy.
There you go.
Oh, well, that's all that matters. So is there it officially...
There are photos in here. FYI, I just bought it. So.
And you saw them, see? So there you go, Greeny. All you got to do is get Siri to read it to you.
This thing is...
What could be better than Johnny Briggs reading your book? He's a fab bloke.
So is it anything to do with Johnny Ive at all?
It's a biography of Johnny Ive.
It's a biography, yeah.
Apparently,
yeah, I know that, but what I'm saying, has he had any sort of... As he said, is it officially endorsed? That's the question.
Ah, right.
No.
No.
Right, well, I'm going to knock one of these out. I can do that.
You're going to just make up shit about Johnny Ive.
Yep. And nobody will know this.
I can't wait to see your book. Can I do the illustrations?
Yep. Yep, we can have some colouring pages.
Yeah, this is going to be brilliant.
It is. No, I would buy that. I would totally buy that. Let's do it. I could make a video of you sitting down after you've written the book going... We started with something that was very simple, just a blank piece of paper. And what we did then was build on that.
Yeah. And then we chamfered the edges.
Yeah. And it's a unibody book.
So Jeff is going to do the colouring in pages.
Yes.
I'll do the dot.
You're going to do drawings that you can colour in once you own the book?
Yeah. Yeah.
You, have to buy you could use the paint colour. Bucket tool from Paint in MS Paint.
No, it'll be real crayons. Yeah. Got real
if
crayons.
You really want to, sure.
Yeah, you mean Mac Paint, though, right?
Back when she's already saying she'd buy that. There you go.
We're on to winner with this.
Is Johnny Ive the guy with the beard and the white suit from The Matrix, says Bronwyn.
What are you going to bring to it, Adam? What are you going to do?
Yes, he is.
I will do the reading of the audio book.
Yeah.
And intimately describe each illustration.
It has an embedded... Why don't they do embedded audio tracks in iBooks?
They can. You totally can.
Yeah, there we go, see?
Totally do that.
Doesn't Johnny Ive have a mullet? Oh, apparently there's a young Johnny Ive picture. Someone's just put a link in the chat room with Johnny Ive with a mullet. Guessing when he's at uni. Oh my God, he looks like Chris Waddle. Not that you know who Chris Waddle is, but it's disgusting. He looks like Kajagoogoo. There you go.
Well, it's a genius.
Looking at that photo of Johnny Ive, I understand why he never smiled.
Yeah, because that haircut, Jesus.
Isn't that like a flock of seagulls kind of thing?
It's too shy. It's more of a swoop in flock.
it's actually Nick Kershaw, more Billy Ray Cyrus, maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, we shall see. But you haven't ordered it yet, then. Matt in the chat room is really upset, actually, because he says his is still on pre-order. Adam.
His mullets?
His mullets arrived, mate. What he's saying is that his iBooks version is still on pre-order, according to him. It's not available to the
site. Oh, in the UK?
Yeah, I guess so. He's bought it.
This is classic Apple stuff, right?
So you've got it, though. You've definitely got it in hand.
Is that an Apple thing, or is it publishers being weird with the licensing?
Well, they come out with some grief about the fact that it's... Yeah, but have you opened it yet, Adam? They come out with some crap about it being that they can't cope with launching something everywhere all over the world at once because they can't send the people out there, like films. So, you know, your stars can't be at three premieres on the same night. But then they have a world premiere, so I don't know why they do that. But here you go. There it is. There it is. And there's the picture as well, unfortunately. So that's it, Matt. Yeah, you've been stiffed. No question.
It's that whole stupid publisher thing, you know? It's like you got to get permission in each country from, you know, publishers and stuff. It's the same stuff they've always had the problems with, right?
Go on, Green, are you about to say?
I was going to say, I think it's the same problem with the audiobook or the paperbook. There is obviously a problem. Because the audiobook is available in America, but not in Britain, and it's much the same with the paper one.
Maybe it's the language difference, and they have to re-record it in English.
And it'll cost you guys more, too. Let's just throw that in there right now.
Yeah, definitely. No question. We get stiffed still over here. Talking of getting stiffed, Apple are allegedly under investigation for $1.3 billion worth of Italian tax fraud. The government believes that Apple, this is the Italian government, believes that Apple may have hidden more than $1.3 billion from Italian tax authorities and investigators in that country with aggressive tax probes in recent year. The maker of the iPhone is the latest prominent corporation to become the target of a tax probe by Italy amid a global crackdown on tax cheats by multinationals. In Italy, where tax authorities have become more aggressive in their dealings with global companies, fashion designers Dolce and Gabbana were handed in a 20-month suspended sentence and a heavy fine for hiding hundreds of millions of euros in unpaid taxes. Apple's been fined more than a million by Italian regulators in separate cases in the past. There you go.
1 million?
1 million, yeah. So that hurt.
Wow. Apple got that out of the couch's corporate office.
You siphon off... I mean, this is purely allegedly, obviously. I have no... I'm not suggesting anything by the statement I'm about to make, but if you really have siphoned off $1.3 billion worth of tax, it seems like $1 million's not even the interest on that. So... And does anyone... Jeff, do you know any more about this story, whether it's true or not, or have you been following it, or...?
I don't know enough about it to talk decisively.
Without getting sued.
But it looks... What I'm thinking has happened is that Apple has interpreted the Italian tax laws in such a way that they felt that they didn't need to pay these taxes that Italy are owed. Italy doesn't like that, and so they're saying, no, you didn't interpret the laws correctly, therefore... We are going to tell everyone that you siphoned all this money off and were intentionally hiding it. And my guess is in the end that Apple will give Italy some more money and it'll go away. And then Apple will revise how they are interpreting the Italian tax laws. And that'll be that.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a big scandal right now, but I don't think it is a big scandal.
Yeah, no, it's here's what we think we can do. No, you can't.
It makes good headlines and draws good traffic.
The last Italian probe was dropped due to lack of proof, says Belts. I don't know if that's a sexual joke and I'm not getting it, or whether that's the truth, but there you go. If you've had an Italian probe that was dropped, let me know. Excellent.
And don't forget the 3-second rule.
That's all the news I could find. Is that before it's safe to put it back in your mouth?
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. Do I need to bleep that? Did anyone have any other Apple news, or have I pretty much covered it there? Thank you. Sorry about that. No, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
I did an Apple show, a Mac show, with Apple News, without slagging off Apple, so all of you fanboys out there.
I know, I think I was guilty of it this time around, more than you.
You got some shit coming, boy.
I'm going to get some emails.
Real hate mail.
I'm sure you will.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're bloody marvellous. You can get 50% off domains at the moment and other internet services from them. They are stupendous. They've looked after us for a very long time. They're going to carry on look after us for a very long time to come. So if you'd like anything for the web, UK2.net are absolutely fantastic. Go and sort them out. Please come through our website, because then we get the kudos for sending you. Use the offer codes, because you get a massive discount on your basket. And prepare yourself for one of the best internet firms going, because their customer services are great. We love them to bits. And they're just nice people. So sort yourselves out a UK2 account. If you're sensible, you know you need it. UK2, you're lost without them. Right. It's that time. It's the cool thing. And Adam, off you go.
Yes. All right. I am picking a new trivia app. end game that you can play online. It's hooked up through all your social media accounts, Game Center, and all that stuff. It's called Quiz Up, and it's free. And they've got just a ton of categories in this thing. So whatever you want to challenge someone, one of your friends, someone randomly, to a trivia match at, they're going to have your category, and they're adding new categories all the time. I love the design and the look of the whole thing. So basically, it's a one-on-one. It throws up a trivia question. You try and answer it. The faster you answer, the more points you get. And there's a little slider bar that goes up on either side so you can see how you're doing against the person you're competing against. And then you rank up. You get levels. And you go up various levels for every win that you get. It has all kinds of stats that you can see so you can see how you're doing against people. And my favorite part is that you can also get ranked locally by your region, by your country, and globally in any category. So I am currently, or I was as of a little while ago, yes, ranked number one in the world in the kids and family category.
Which this show's got no chance of ever being in.
But they have, tech category. I don't know if they have an Apple subcategory yet. There's logos if you're into that kind of thing, sports. They do have a Star Wars OT, original trilogy category, along with just a regular Star Wars category. So if you want to count the first three, you can compete in that. So good. I've been playing this with Kelly, with Verso, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's Kelly's birthday tomorrow as well, let's say.
Yes, it is.
She's away having birthday things.
They've got Harry Potter and Big Bang Theory and tabletop games and video games. I mean, you name the category, you can go in there and compete. So if you think you're good at trivia in a specific category, it's fun. And it's free.
Well done, mate. We like that.
It's Quiz Up.
Free.
Quiz Up.
Quiz Up. Good pick. Mr. Gamut, do you have anything cool?
I do. And it's not nearly as expensive as what he tossed out for everyone on the big show yesterday. What I have is a new stand for the iPad, and this is called Slope. And it's a stand that I saw a prototype of at Macworld back at the beginning of the year, and they're finally out now. The way this works, that black surface is it's a micro pore sheet. So you take your iPad.
Yeah. Is it just uber sticky?
It's not even sticky. It just feels like plain old rubber, but it has these pores in it that act like suction cups.
Oh my God! You're turning oh no! He's turned it face down and it's not falling off.
Yeah, and there you go. And then you can just pop it back off.
Batwench wants to know if it's as good as my Willy, because she still owns my Willy, of course.
Well, considering I've never touched your Willy, I don't know.
No, I had a product that was sent to me for review called the Willy. If you want to go to the review section, you'll be able to read the review of my Willy. That's enough Willy jokes now, please.
I like the Willy jokes.
They do, they're great. So what's the price on that then, Jeffrey?
It comes in two sizes. The bigger size, which is designed for the full-size iPad, it's $60. And then the smaller size, which is for the iPad mini or the iPhone, whatever you want to stick to it. That one, I believe, is $55.
Oh, so it's not cheap then.
So it's not cheap. The metal part, that's all aluminum. And, right. Oh, and the bottom has the same sticky material. So you can set it on your desk and it won't move. I'm assuming, although I'm not going to try this, that I could stick this to the hood of my car, put my iPad on there and turn on the camera and drive around town and get video.
Well, try it on the dashboard first, maybe then.
Right.
Yeah.
Or try it with someone else's iPad.
Or tie someone to the bonnet as a tether.
That works too. Mm. I have no problem with this.
There's lots of ways of achieving this. Deka.net, DEKKE.net is the place. Thank you, Jeff. Good pick. Good pick. Greeny boy, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, can we not pull it back to the Willy jokes for a bit?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
Your Willy, what reviews should it get?
I said it was very good. It was a I think it was only $20, £10-ish, something like that, to buy the Willy, and it was a little single sticker that stuck in your car, and it was two-sided, so you could stick it to a screen with different angles and stick it to the top or the bottom of your iPad Mini, and it was great. Your Mini and your Willy.
Huh. Oh, so it lost it, haven't we? Because you went all serious with your boring review about whatever your Willy thing was.
Thanks, mate.
I wanted you to talk about sizes.
Well, the Willy only comes in one version, unfortunately, but you can get it in different colours.
So you can still have variety.
Yes.
My pick is... Now, in the early days, male's okay, but I think over the years, it's got worse and worse and worse, and
second
I hate it now. On OS X, it's horrible. Absolutely horrible. Proper archaic mail program. So I use a program called Airmail, and it's brilliant. And it's about, what is it, £1.99 or £2.99?
Right.
Available from the App Store. Fantastic. Just all the normal stuff you'd expect. But it's just really elegant, full screen, just a modern email system for the Mac. So if you, like me, got frustrated with mail on OS X, and you're looking for a substitute, Airmail. Brilliant.
Yeah, I started using Sparrow because it's I've got so sick and tired of mail.
I can't be done with Sparrow. It looked exactly the same as Twitter, and you couldn't do full screen or anything like that.
Yeah, you can. You can do full screen now. And the thing is, once you paid for that first version, the new version is still free. So yeah, it works.
I've heard a lot of people really like Airmail.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot of people say Airmail's great. Yeah.
It's brilliant. Really, really good. Mm. That's all I can say, really. Are you going to say good pick?
Good pick. But the question I have is, do you use Gmail with it? And does it address some of the Gmail headaches that people have complained about with Mavericks, which I think are supposed to be fixed in now, right?
I haven't got with Airmail. Or Sparrow?
Either. But I don't specifically get the Airmail, since it was Will's pick.
Yeah, I don't get the please sign in again thing.
Yeah, but outranking my pick.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
Yeah.
You have no clue, do you?
No, I do. I'm on the ball. I really am. Yes, it now virtually 80% of my working life is around Google. And so I've got lots and lots and lots of different Google accounts. That tend to be sort of the businessy accounts, and it works perfectly with all of them.
You don't have that all mail, you know, management problem, because they do that weird labels thing. Gmail doesn't do IMAP in a normal way, so that's where the trouble comes into play.
No, it doesn't. But if you drag a label across to an email, it translates perfectly into IMAP. It really looks after it.
Belts in the chat room says Airmail is Gmail only, is it not?
No, not at all.
No, all right, okay.
No, it does pop, and it does regular IMAP as well. So it's pretty good. And the rumours I hear that it'll soon be a Twitter client as well.
Ugh.
Hello?
Excellent.
I don't like crossing the streams.
Fair enough.
Yeah, total protonic reversal. That's bad.
To be fair, though, I mean, my communication, I do my email, I do Google+, and I do Twitter. I'm not a massive Facebook fan. But those three, you know, if you could bring those communications together in one place, that's not a bad thing, is it?
I don't like it. I mean, I understand some people like to have everything all in one. I still get emails from tons of people who are upset about the separation of contacts and calendar and mail. Remember when they all used to be together and all in one place, especially if you're a Windows user?
Don't get it.
Right. I like it the other way around. I like being focused on sort of one thing and having them in separate apps, but that's just a preference. I totally get that some people just want all their stuff in one place.
So you would have thought a unifying option would be possible?
Sure. Somebody could do it. I mean, technologically, it's not difficult, especially, you know, you have you now you have a CalDAV and you have a WebDAV and you have a, you know, it's all pretty much an IMAP and a POP. I mean, you can bring all that stuff into a single client. Somebody just has to write it.
Yeah. What I do is I use a single Google account, and then I have all the multiple accounts. And in my single Google account, I set up folders, as it were, or labels, or virtually the same. Mm-hmm. And then I drag it from my multiple email accounts into the projects that I'm working on. So I've got a single sort of unified area. Now, imagine if I could have direct messages coming in from Twitter, and I could drag that direct message or tweet out of Airmail and drop it onto one of my folders / tags / labels using Airmail. That would be the perfect solution for me.
I get it, but it would drive me nuts with my ADD. I can't. I got to be focused on email and not see tweets in there. So it's again, it's just a preference, I think.
Oh well.
Yeah.
There we go.
You're wrong.
You and Spec.
Just a preference. There we go. We'll see. Now, at the risk of getting the piss taken out of me by Greeny once again.
Oh, what is it now, mate? Another Spotify.
I'm going to pick the 1080p Apple TV. Now, I know this is...
dragging the bottom of the barrel now, ain't you?
Now, I know this has been around for a little while. It's fine. I understand that. But I recently bought one of these for myself because I'd only had the 720p ones, and I just thought, I want to try the 1080 one. So I went and got one, and I did a quick test between the two to see if it really was any better, and it bloody is. It's significantly better. Even on my 40-inch TV, you could see a difference. And I've just bought another one for my parents, and it took a while, I have to admit, to try and get them to understand how to use it, and they needed to go to a different HDMI channel on their TV, but we got past that. And they've discovered Netflix, and they've discovered all the movies that I've purchased down the pipe, and they've got some movies on their own computer that I've put on there that they can watch on it, and they're loving it. They're loving it. It's given them a new lease of life, if you like, with the TV, because before they were just really doing PVR stuff, crap off the TV, and now they've realised that there's more Netflix that they can watch and shake a stick at, and they're into House of Cards at the moment. So it's rejuvenated their TV watching habits in the evening.
They love life.
They do. They'd got really pissed off with Rooms in the Attic and all that kind of crap that they would, because they were recording it and PVRing it, because they just wouldn't have anything else to watch at all in the evenings, because they don't like things like X Factor and that kind of shite. So it's completely changed the way that they do it. So there you go.
Plus, you can sell the Apple TV 2 and buy another one. You can fund the purchase of three new Apple TVs with an old one.
What?
Apparently the Apple TV 2 goes for like $300 or something like that.
Why?
Because it's hackable and the new one's not hackable.
Oh, right. Okay, I might straight on eBay then. I've got three of them.
Yeah, they're worth a lot, apparently. So
Batwin says, my parents clearly have good taste if they don't watch Crap Factor. There we go.
Have you tried Netflix on your Apple TV?
I have, and I think it's fantastic. And I love the fact...
it works great.
Yeah, absolutely love the fact that it goes across all of the platforms, and I can pick up to the minute where I left off.
Until you have your service provider cap your bandwidth, which is what I'm dealing with this week.
Doesn't happen. Not here.
Thank you.
You can be watching like the Apple TV, right, and then pause it, and then restart it on your iPad in another room, and it will... pick up from where it left.
Are you taking the piss by any chance, Greeny? Would that be you just taking the mickey out of me for my pick the other week?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, I was amazed.
No, I did qualify my choosing of it the other week, saying I wasn't very well, and that's the first time I've ever kind of used it cross-platform, and it came into its own. I'd never done that before. I just sat and watched it. So,
yeah, and the Mighty Boosh. Let's have the Mighty Boosh. Oi, Americans, have the Mighty Boosh. You'll love it.
Check it out. It's on Netflix. Yeah, you will love it.
It is fun. Adam, when you watch it, I recommend you start with alcohol and then get into it.
Okay.
I can do that.
There's no TV series in the world that wouldn't be enhanced with alcohol.
I am the man.
That's a really, really good point.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. This podcast and all the others was brought to you by UKT, but we've already done that advert, so I won't bother doing it again there. Adam, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can find me over at maccast.com, also on the We Have Communicators podcast with Jeff and Michael Johnston. Supposed to get a plug in for Appler, which is this great way to find and discover apps over at getappler.com. It's something Michael put together, and I think it's great. I use it for finding a lot of my iOS apps now because the apps, you know, Apple's store browsing through that is just a pain in the butt. So check that out at getappler.com. You can sign up for a free account. Follow me on MacCast there. And let's see what else. I'm going to be on Cult of Mac, actually. I don't know if Leander will be on, so it'll be interesting to talk to him about the new book. But next week, I think I'm scheduled to
Tony
do that.
Tony Greeny wants a copy.
Yeah.
With pictures.
Okay. Will do. But I think that's all of it. And then MacCast on all the social media places.
Of course. You got to listen to the MacCast. And Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
Well, you can find me at MacObserver.com. And you can find me on pretty much all of your podcasts.
Thanks, mate. Here on the Jeff Gamet Network.
The Jeff Gamet Network, yes. And we have communicators with Adam and Michael and Apple Context Machine, Brian Chaffin. Several other shows, too. I can make the rounds.
You need a secretary.
Yes. Twitter and app.net, I'm Jay Gamet, both places. My fun blog is Fresh Brew Tales, so go check that out. All the wonderful stuff that happens at coffee shops. I'm probably forgetting something really important, but off the top of my head, I can't think of what it is. But I will toss out another plug for Apple, because it is a much better way to find apps than the App Store. That's where I go to.
Excellent. Well done, mate. And Greeny, where the hell are you?
Cutting Edge is where I'm at. Cutting Edge. Are you ready?
Go on.
Google.com/ and then the plus symbol, British Mac Studios. How about that?
Really?
Yep.
How do you register that then?
Well, you could register it too. If you.
Well, I can't because you have.
Yeah. You've got. I think you've got to have a Google business account, which is only, I think, £3.50 a month. And then in Google Plus, create a new page. You might not need the Google Plus account, the business one, I don't know. But you create a new page and then eligible to create a custom URL.
Well, I never. And that I took that picture of you, I think, didn't I?
Yes, I think you did.
Yeah, it's not the best one that I took of you, but it is one I took.
And there's a picture of the bash there as well.
I took one where there was only one chin, from what I remember.
Yeah, I photoshopped all the rest out.
Now then, what about Christmas party as well, dude?
Well, if you go to google.com/ British Mac Studios, you'll find all the information there. Also, if you go across to britishmac.com and click on the forum, you'll find it all there too. And it is on the 21st of December at 7 o'clock at the studios. Go to either one of those and you'll find the directions and stuff. It's in the middle of Shropshire. And I basically go to Tesco, buy a load of booze. We record a live podcast with a fire and all that. And then when we've done the live podcast, we walk down into Ironbridge. We'll get a few taxis, which is only a mile and a half away. We go for a few more beers. Then we go for a curry. And that is that. And Ironbridge is like a World Heritage Site. And it's a really nice and pretty place to go. So if you fancy a Christmas weekend with your family, then bring them as well.
21st.
Like yourself, every year I try and make it as you know, I've got young children and I try to keep it as family friendly as I can. Mm-hmm. So bring them along if you want to. Load of free booze, free podcast, curry, what more do you want?
Excellent, mate. We'll do that. 21st of December, we'll be there. I'll be there. Ellis will be there. He was there last year.
Yes, he was. Fantastic.
Greeny podcast did. Fantastic. It was great fun. Really good
fun.
Yeah,
it was fun, wasn't it?
I forgot to do my plug to piss you off, Ewan.
Oh, go on.
Today's the last day of voting on the Podcast Awards.
Oh, no, of course, yes. No, get it in.
Podcastawards.com, and I am up in the tech category, and I'm never going to win because it's, like, impossible. You've got Tech News Today in there. You've got The Verge cast. You've got This Week in Tech, and then you've got me. But if people are so inclined, if you could vote there, maybe I'll actually win after 9 years of doing this stuff. But I doubt it.
We would have won the European Podcast
Except
Awards.
Except we cheated.
Apart from the fact we cheated. Well, I think the reason that they found out was because we actually polled more votes for our podcast than there were total votes for the previous 3 years added together. I think we did. A conservative estimate was that we had something like 1.2 million votes, and they only had 200,000 votes the previous year.
Yeah. There's a lot of good shows in there, so you know, vote for all your favorites, including Ken Ray's Star Trek podcast, Mission Log, in entertainment, which is great. So vote for that too, please.
Excellent.
I don't like Star Trek. I think
well, that's an entirely podcast.
Then you can vote. You can vote. Let's see what you can vote for the. I don't know, the Taylor Swift podcast. There you go. That one's for you.
Is there a Tony Hancock podcast?
No.
Or Mikey Bush? Okay.
No.
But is you can
start one. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again next week with the Mac Show. I'll try and make more people here. I think I've been stiffed by Carl because I think he's gone out for a beer at the Bavarian Beer House and he's claimed to be stuck in
traffic.
See, I'm thinking now. Never mind. Whether he has or he
Check
hasn't.
Foursquare.
It's a voluntary thing. We don't force anyone to come here. We'll see you all next week. Thanks for listening.